Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. We're going to get started with Donnie McClurkin and Speak to My Heart, oh Lord. Speak to my heart.
Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Now I'll go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
From my heart.
Give me your
holy word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. Oh, yes, we're about to get ready and turn with the end, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence in this holy universe. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit that is known by many names as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. And so as we center the mind, centering the thought, preparing ourselves to center our breath, recognizing that there is power in the breath family. And so I want you to prepare yourself to breathe in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and then release through the mouth family. I want you to breathe deep into the diaphragm. Remember to breathe into the heart and know that there is power in the breath. Sometimes we forget to breathe, family. So right now I just want you to take in that deep breath by becoming still. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Let's try it again. I want you to breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, breathe, family. And release. As we prepare our minds, for Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe, we're going to hear Ayana on forgiveness of our money.
Day 10, a prayer of forgiveness. I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every cell, every atom, every molecule, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, wealth, and abundance, bringing it into alignment with the perfect will of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into alignment with the perfect peace of God. I now consciously and willingly call forth the Holy Spirit and the consciousness of the higher mind I am into every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, every muscle, and every living system in my being, asking to have transformed every energy, every pattern, every belief, every program, every idea, every attitude, every perception, every expectation, every intention, and every behavior and motivation related to money, bringing it into perfect alignment with the perfect love of God. For this I am so grateful, and so it is. Today, I forgive myself for judging my relationship with money.
Amen. Thank you, God. And so as we prepare ourselves to shift the consciousness, to bring in the consciousness of God and money, we're going to hear Reverend Ike give us a prosperity treatment for money, knowing that we are all that God is in this right now moment.
Now, here is the long affirmation that I'm going to give you. It's too long to get on the green board, but when I give you this affirmation, I want you to write it out. Put it in your checkbook. Every time you write a check, read it. For starters and for practice, put it up on the mirror that you look in the most. Most of all, put it in your mind and use it. Think it every time you use money. Here it is, repeat it after me verbally as well as write it. And of course I'll be good and repetitious about it so that you won't miss it. I see God.
I see God.
Multiplying back to me.
Multiplying back to me.
All of the money that I use.
All of the money that I use.
Circulate in any way,
or circulate in any way,
in a never-ending cycle,
in a never-ending cycle
of increase and enjoyment.
Of increase and enjoyment.
Gee, I'd love to take an offering right now. This is the time to do it. Gee, because I usually have the people hold their offering that they're giving in their hands, and I have them circulate like this, you see. It indicates that your good is going from you, but doing what? Coming back. It is going from you and doing what?
Coming back.
All right. Anyway, symbolically, think that you're in church this Sunday. All of you are going to be in church Sunday.
Right.
Even those that Reverend Terry haven't seen in ages. Now hold your offering in your hand. Look at it. And circulate it over, away from you, and under, back to you. Come on. Now repeat this with me again. I see God,
I see God
multiplying back to me,
multiplying back to me
all of the money,
that I use,
give,
or circulate
in any way,
in
a never-ending cycle, of increase and enjoyment. In a never-ending cycle.
In a never-ending cycle.
Of increase and enjoyment.
Of increase and enjoyment.
In a never-ending cycle.
In a never-ending cycle.
Of increase and enjoyment.
Of increase and enjoyment.
I dare you to practice that. All right, you want me to repeat that again? All right, and I'll try to remember to even put the punctuation in for you. I see God, period, comma.
I see God.
Yes, I see God, comma.
I see God, comma.
Multiplying back to me.
Multiplying back to me.
Comma.
Comma.
All of the money that I use, comma.
All of the money that I use.
All of the money that I give, comma.
All of the money that I give, comma.
Circulate in any way.
Or circulate in any way.
Comma. In a never-ending cycle.
In a never-ending cycle.
Ending cycle.
Of increase and enjoyment.
Of increase and enjoyment.
And I like to get that last phrase going. In a never-ending cycle of increase and enjoyment. In a never-ending cycle of increase and enjoyment. In a never-ending cycle of increase and enjoyment. And make no mistake about it, this is not just being idly Pollyanna-ish. This works. Because you get this feeling going in your subconscious mind, and you're to see that money that you're using, that you're giving, that you're circulating, actually see and feel that circulation, and to know that the circulation of good, the circulation of money, is what? A never-ending
cycle of increase
and enjoyment. Know that this is the truth about the good that you do. All of your goodness, all of your kindness, all of your givingness in every form is multiplied back to you. How? In a never-ending cycle of increase and enjoyment. Come on, get your hand circulating here. Come on. What do you think this is? You know, I make the audacious claim you can't lose with the stuff I use. But you've got to use this stuff. So, let's get it going. In a never-ending cycle of increase and enjoyment. Now, let's put this out for all of the good that we do. Think of your kindness. Think of the favors that you do lovingly. Think of the ways that you give of yourself, the many ways that you give of yourself. And know that all of the good that I do comes back to me multiplied. I like that. Multiplied. How? In a never-ending cycle of increase and enjoyment. In a never-ending cycle of increase and enjoyment. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to be redundant about this. Never again in all eternity spend your money. Use it. Circulate it. One other word. Enjoy it.
Wow. I see God multiplying back to me all of the money that I use, give, or circulate in any way in a never-ending cycle of increase and enjoyment. Increase and enjoyment, family. Whew, I love it. I just love me some Reverend Ike. Let's listen to this one.
Money is coming to me easily and effortlessly. Money is coming to me. Money is coming to me easily and effortlessly. Money is coming to me. Money is coming to me easily and effortlessly. Money is coming to me.
Money is coming to me
easily and effortlessly. Money is coming to me. Every time I open my heart.
I know that God is. Yes. So I see everybody's texting, asking to send them the affirmation. I see God multiplying back to me all of the money that I use, give, or circulate in any way in a never-ending cycle of increase and enjoyment. Yes. That was Reverend Ike, family. And after that, that was the song by Karen Drucker. Money is coming to me. I found me. If you ever want to hear some conscious music, you definitely want to tune in to Karen Drucker. That's who made that song, Karen Drucker. All her CDs are conscious. Money is coming to me. Yes, yes, family. Today, I love Fridays because I get to hear Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe, and I'm always super excited because I love learning, growing, expanding, and growing my consciousness and money. And so before we open up the lines for Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe, I want to remind you that we're reading the book called Abundance Now. Amplify Your Life and Achieve Prosperity Today by Lisa Nichols. And, family, I'm super excited because I'm in conversation to get Lisa on the call. So that's going to be really exciting. Also, I want to let you know about our next two books that we're going to be reading to finish the year out. Well, depending on how fast we get through this book, maybe we'll start at the beginning. But we're going to do The Alchemist and The Dream Giver. So those are our next two books. The Alchemist and the Dream Giver. So you say, well, what does the Alchemist have to do with my money? What does the Dream Giver have to do with Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe? Because anytime we're walking in the true gift and purpose that we've been given for our life, guess what happens? We attract, magnetize, and bring into our space money. And so I'm super excited to reread The Dream Giver and to read together the book called The Alchemist. Because when you really truly learn how to operate in your alchemy space, life becomes magical. And I'm super excited about the magic that we get to live when we truly understand how the magical beings that we are. But it takes work to get to that magical state. It takes clearing, cleansing, and renewing our mind, removing the conditioning and the veils to really, truly operate in that state. So I'm going to go ahead and read from The Science of the Mind today. Can you believe today is October 13th? Guess what, family? So my firstborn is about to have her first child, and Monday is the gender reveal. I'm so super excited. Diamond is about to have her first child, and her and her husband are going to do a gender reveal. So you be, I'm excited to let you know that I'm having a granddaughter. I already know. I'll be surprised if it's anything other than that, but I've been dreaming about a little girl, and she is so amazing, so amazing. All right, family, I'm going to get ahead and read today. Today is October 13th. Yes, and The Science of the Mind today is about making conscious use divine inspiration. And it says, all good belongs to us. Did you know all the good things belong to us? In the heart, that's truthful, weak or strong, helps form the stream on which my strength is borne along. When we want to do right, but nothing will really help us except the realization of the internal principle of spirit, we can use the power to heal someone, to make someone happy. Is it right to use it? How should we use it? I believe we should expect to have the good we want when we want it, and as much of it as we can take and use, knowing that nothing is stored up in this life outside of a state of consciousness. It has no bounds. It is not that we desire to possess, but to have access to the substance which shall flow continuously as supply to meet every need. That is wealth. We do not need more physical strength than we need to live, but to have access to such an abundance of vitality that while we are here, we shall have physical strength to manifest that vitality that is health. You see, there is no individual good. All good is individualized. Good belongs to each and every one of us. The watchword is not exclusion, but inclusion. And the more good we loose, the more good we experience. We are all part of one tremendous whole whose nature is of God. And God is good, and good is God stretched out. It is in this divine nature, this inevitable union, that we should consciously walk and talk with the infinite until it becomes dynamic and real and propels our life on earth with the images of God. This comes from a book called Know Yourself in 1936. You know, the affirmation says, I am all that God is, and all that God is good. Let's say that together, family. I am all that God is, and all that God is good. So together, family, know that there's nothing you can't have. Know that all the good that exists is yours to have. We're going to get ready and open up our Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe with our beautiful sister all the way from Georgia. Here's her song, Ain't No Stopping Us Now.
Us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. If you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
Good morning, Chastity.
Happy Friday, Love Journey. Happy Friday, Janine. Thank you so
much.
Happy Friday. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Great risers, everyone, kings and queens, everyone on the line. I am Chastity A. Wells, and we are at Millionaire Mind Conversation Cafe. Still reviewing our great book by the great Lisa Nichols of Abundance Now, where we're amplifying our life to achieve prosperity today. This book is absolutely amazing. We left off last week where we just were really just working on family still, our second E, which is enchantment in our life relationships. And that's really just we've talked about already in this chapter, just kind of putting distance between those and toxic relationships that no longer serve us at our highest capacity, between a 1 and a 10, right? If there's 1 and 2s in your life, we create distance with those people. If there's 7 and above, we definitely create more time. And now this week, we're going to really talk about how to create a path where we are creating space for more 7 through 10 people in our lives. One of the things that Lisa left off for us last week, well, that where we left off at, in Lisa's book, was a quote by Oprah Winfrey that it seemed like a lot of people enjoy. So I'm going to just start out there, and then we'll just continue on where we are scheduled to pick up this week. Oprah was quoted saying, lots of people will want to ride with you in your limo, but what you want is someone who will take the bus with you when the limo breaks down. So again, lots of people want to ride with you in a limo, but what we want is someone who will take the bus with us when the limo breaks down. And that was quoted by Oprah Winfrey. So the whole point of that was, along the way, building supportive, nurturing, challenging, intellectually stimulating friendships with people who who we know well, and who will be there for us with our speed bumps in life. So it's truly one of our best investments that we can really make. This week we're going to be picking up talking about creating your new community, creating your new community. And I think that this is absolutely important for all of us to really talk about, because I know it's challenging for many people. Many of us have had relationships with our friends or whomever for more than 20 years. And though we know it's not a relationship that's really fulfilling, whether it's spiritually, whether it's financially, not even just financially, like you want money from your friends, but there's nothing that's jumping that creative spunk or growth out of our lives. So it's really important that we're always managing those relationships to make sure we are really growing and doing what we have to do in that place to be able to do that. I'm sorry, y'all. Looks like my dog, he wants to talk this morning too. So here in the book, she says, when you look at the quality of your current relationships and you don't quite like them, when you see what you need to make a change and you don't want to dump your friends wholesale, it's time to start working proactively, building a new community. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, is really what it looks like to proactively start building a new community. And so when we're talking about a community family, we're talking about a group of like-minded, forward-thinking, and evolved people who are invested in seeing you prosper. Not so much financially invested, but physically, energetically, and emotionally invested. Your wins and those of others in the community reassure everyone that they are aligned with winners, and the achievement helps them feel more hopeful and joyous about their own future, too. And I love that. I love how she even just reminded us, Janine, it's more than just financially invested. We're talking about physically and energetically and emotionally invested, right? Because the reality is winners only want to be around winners. That's what that really did conclude for me, is winners want to be around other winners. Because I know that even like for myself, being an entrepreneur and, you know, going after my dream and going after different things in my life, I had to pull away from certain conversations and certain people just for a season, right? Not that I didn't love them or anything else like that, but I had to learn, you know, my friends who are entrepreneurs, we spoke the same language. We speak the same language. We understand the same trials and tribulations. And having other people who've been through it, you know, they're able to help me navigate it and say, hey, I know what that looks like during this time, but hold on a little bit longer. It'll turn around and it'll look like this if you hold on. So I think that that's really important. And what that really did sum up for me, because it really is important for us to really create the community that we do need. And then she went on to talk about, you know, she used her own example of with her co-author, Janet Switzer, who we never mentioned, sorry about that, but that is the co-author of the book. And she just talked about, you know, how they align themselves with other business owners, right? Same things that I was just saying, you know, we speak the same language and kind of do the same things. And so even if she called Janet and say, hey, let's go to Europe for 3 weeks, all they do is simply plan it and they go. It's not a struggle. It's not they have to see if they can go or whatever the case may be. And not that there's something wrong with those who can't at that time, right? It's just, she's just using it as an example and for it to be parallel in our own lives with what it means to look like for us all to be able to create those type of friendships in our lives. And so it's a reminder here that your community might be different, but there are a few hallmarks of having a strong community: optimism, vitality, loyalty, family, focus, creativity, compassion. And they're all important enough to you and your abundant future to focus on building a community around them. And I absolutely love that. Because again, all of our communities may look different. It just depends on which season you're in and where you at in your life. But the reality is, it should. All of our communities should inspire us for some type of optimism, vitality. There definitely should be loyalty, focus, family, creativity, and compassion. And this is the next part that I really do love, Janine, and family on the line, is just learning to be a magnet for the kind of people you want to attract, right? And this is something Janine talks to us a lot about on the Love Journey, but it is absolutely true. Unconsciously, family, we attract the people who are like us in a way that the manner in how we conduct our lives become a magnet for others who have the same values, outlook, and mindset we do. We attract those who have a similar level of achievement and goals, okay? So that we do attract those people, whether you want to take responsibility for it or not. I know that was an ugly one, I hated to admit, at one point in my life, but it's just the reality of it, right? When we talk to one another, we are instantly understood. Not only that, but we are enchanted by one another, which means not only do we take great delight and enjoyment in the relationship, but we are charmed and we want to spend time with each other. Who are those people who make us want to circulate in their universe, stay connected to them, and do things together? We're excited by what they're up to, and they're equally charmed by us. Right? It's the wow factor. And the feeling of anticipation of talking to these people is off the charts. And I love that. And I love feeling those type of relationships in my life as well. That's what truly enchanting relationships look like. We have a sort of innate filter for attracting and then allowing familiarity with this type of person. Right? So that's what I really want us to focus at today. So that's what we're going to be focusing in on, is really doing those type of things. And I love how we just really talk about that. And I really would love just to hear other people talk about it and, you know, us all converse on it, because this type of stuff is really what the book is about. It really is about our relationships and just us really growing. And if we don't take anything else away from it, I believe that if we really were able to tune in to this part, Janine, the other things would really start falling in alignment, right? If you weren't prepared to do the first steps, if you weren't prepared to look at other parts of your life, just really start looking at your relationships, the people that you're in close relationship with, and really start building yourself to attract the type of people you really want to be around. Because what I've found is that those things really, the people that we are around, that is who we really do become, and it will challenge our mindset. It will challenge the way we show up, and everything else will be a byproduct of it, right? It really does become a byproduct of it. So I really would love for everyone to really be engaged in this part, because it really is important, because we love to tell stories of victimization and, like, we don't know how we got here, or we don't know why we keep ending up in this situation. And that's because we got circles of people around us that's not holding us accountable for that crazy behavior, for you continuing to do the things that you're doing, whether it's financially, whether it's physically to yourself, or whatever the case may be. It's because of truly the circle of influence that you really do have as well. Lisa told a story here that she was engaged some time ago, right? But the guy was emotionally abusive to her, and he eventually became physically abusive. And I loved how she said she would love to tell the story that she didn't see it coming, right, that she was blindsided. And that's the story that most of us love to tell, like, yo, I didn't see it coming. I didn't see my finances about to go disarray. I didn't see that this person was a nut. I didn't see blah, 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 blah. But the more you continue to tell that story and make yourself as a victim, the more you continue to believe that story. And that's just simply not true. It's simply not true. Like Lisa pointed out in this paragraph, she says, day after day, I was ignoring my intuition in regard to this man. I stepped away from my GPS. Her GPS is her God placement system, right? I closed my ears to the whisper that said, pause, slow down. This doesn't feel right. I ignored the signs that told me that he was prone to outbursts of bad temper, and I was quiet when he used sharp words towards me. And here, again, you've probably experienced times like this in your life when you didn't listen either. But when you don't listen, the whisper becomes a knock. And then that firm knock, then a scream, until eventually something drastic makes you pay attention. While you don't want to be picky and attracting the type of people you want to have around you, you don't want to limit your flexibility. You do need to become firm and explicit about your non-negotiable characteristics. So before we get into the non-negotiable characteristics, I would love to hear from the family on these two sections on creating your own new community. If you have started working towards that, what does it feel like? What are some of the things that you're doing on creating a new community? Are you going to different seminars? Have you signed up for different things to start creating that new community for yourself? Are you signing up with different fitness groups? Because that could be, you know, something that you're trying to do as well, right? But it does take a new community. You can't keep hanging out with your friends who want to eat soul food and chicken all the time, right? If you're trying to eat a more clean diet, right, and work out a little bit more. So it's just an example. I'm not stepping on anybody's toes this morning. I'm just kind of just giving an example. So definitely press star 6 if you are on a teleconference, or press 1 if you are on Blog Talk Radio, and let's have a discussion in regards to this about creating those relationships and being a magnet for the kind of people that you want to attract in your life.
Good morning, Cassidy.
Right. Hey.
Good morning, Love Journey family.
Hey, Mommy.
It's Mommy. I always want to support you. You know, we talk all the time. Good morning, Love Journey family. Good morning, Janine. Love everybody on the Love Journey. And I just want to kind of chime in just a little bit, Chastity. We're always having dialogue because you're truly my best friend. So as you continue to grow and push me toward the person that you know I am and to encourage me, you were a magnet yourself to create that change in other people, including myself, to either we're going to step up or we're going to step back. So I decided to step up. No longer did we have those what I call a mundane conversations, or you say Bugazi conversations, Mommy. So we create those people, and we draw those people to us by our own behavior, because people actually are mindful of what they see, not what they hear. So you being that example, I thank God for you, and I just want to encourage you. I won't get too much into the book because I like to hear other people talk. I don't know who's listening out there, but, you know, just kind of chime in and talk about those relationships, because that is what abundance life is all about, loving the life that you live, living the life that you love. All relationships, your daughter, your son, your friends, or whoever. So happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday.
Thank you, Mother. Thank you so much, Mom. You're just absolutely amazing. I definitely appreciate that. And you can't be using the words that I use in private with you, man, on the line. That was too funny. I'm just teasing, you know, hey, everything is transparent with me, it's all good. So I definitely appreciate that, and I definitely receive that. You are my heart, and just in how you show up in the planet and everything. And I just thank God for the ability to just, and the love and support that you've always shown us, me and my siblings, just so we can just be who we are. And just energetically who we are. And I'm just who I am. And I've always just followed my heart. Nothing else really matters. I follow my heart. I follow my internal GPS, which scares the living daylights out of my logic many times. But at the end of the day, I am holistically very happy. And everything else in my world shows up exactly the way my mind wanted to see it, but I had to follow my heart. And I just thank God for the supportive relationship that I do have, that just encouraged me along the way that it's okay that, you know, I am a little different, and I just kind of, I'm a lot different. And I just beat to my own drum. And just as I continue to wake up each and every day, I am that much more in love with this woman that I'm waking up to. So I thank God for my life. And, Mom, thank you so much for who you are in my life. And thank you so much for sharing your heart all the time.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to say about changing your environment is so important. You know, like I wanted to become a TEDx speaker, right? So it just happened that I'm in a group, and a lady sends me an application to come to a TEDx on November 9th, and I'm so super excited. So when you start, you know, putting your intentions out there and start being around people who are doing what you want to do, proximity to power is so amazing. You just get the byproduct of being around the energy of what it is that you want to do, and it just starts falling in your lap. So if you want to shift something in your life and you want to become intentional, it is very powerful to start following in those circles. I'm asked to be on a board of a professional women conference that's coming up at the Black Woman Expo in Chicago. You know, just different things start coming up when you start being in those environments. So I want to just really hone in and not gloss over this. This is important. If you want to shift your life, it is very important that you shift your environment.
Ashe. That's
Thank
so
you.
True. Yeah. And that's one of the biggest things where I'm just really trying to have a pause in the conversation here, family, because I get it. We don't, you know, obviously in this book it stepped on a lot of people's toes and the rest of it, and that's okay. That's what change do, and I realize that's just a part of, you know, my calling and initiating it and helping bring us all to that point. But here's the reality, especially in this part of the chapter. When I look back over my life and I look back over the things that really did cause me to change and then continue to evolve, it is those very things. It was the relationships I started to cultivate. I'm a person that is, though my business model is not multi-level marketing and I was not a top earner in multi-level marketing, what I really liked about multi-level marketing, which, you know, I was a part of for some time, right, while I was transitioning from corporate. But the main reason, Janine and family, that I did multi-level marketing, and I just talked to my mom about this maybe a week or two ago, was, like, I knew I wasn't going to be the girl that was going to be on the stage at these events, right? That was never my goal there. It wasn't. It really wasn't. My goal was to learn from them. I was trying to figure out, like, how were they doing it? Like, okay, I heard your story, but I was trying to figure out the how. I paid attention to the classism in the room. I watched the people. I watched to see if I could figure out people's backgrounds, where people came from, how people articulated themselves, how people carried themselves. And I observed the people. I observed the difference between those who read and invested in themselves and those who didn't. And that was the biggest thing and the biggest takeaway for me. And I paid attention to that, and I paid attention to those who shied away from cultivating greater relationships with top earners and what their lives look like at the end of it. And that was my biggest takeaway because, again, as a girl born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio, from a blue-collar family. Yes, I come from a family that work hard, right? But just because everybody was working hard doesn't mean, I mean, wasn't nobody cracking a millionaire status either. So I had to figure out, and I needed to see those relationships. I needed to understand how to cultivate those relationships. And it wasn't something that came overnight, but eventually over time, it started to resonate in how to do that, how to be intentional with my friendships, even being intentional, like now, being in a new city and different things. Certain things feel absolutely natural, right, that I may want to do and want to hang out with certain people. But I understand that the bigger part of who I am
that's not going to cultivate my growth, right? If I feel like we're going to keep talking about love and hip-hop and you're going to keep asking me about some shows that, you know, I'm missing every week because I have to read or I have to plan for my next day, that's probably not a relationship I can cultivate at this time. So that's why I just really wanted to spend a little bit of time for us in this space just so we can really understand that it's relationships that really do help cultivate us to be able to grow. When I'm trying to be serious about working out and when I am being serious about my finances and different things like that, I call Janine and I have her be accountable to me, and she'll tell you, like, on the line, like, I'm like, Janine, I'm going to get this credit letter, I'm going to do this, and da-da-da-da. And I talk to my mom about certain things, and I talk to different people in my life, and I'm like, this is what I'm working on. My one girlfriend that works out every single day, she works out like 6 days a week. Man, I don't freaking feel like working out 6 days a week. But guess what? When I need that inspiration, I know who I need to call just so I can lace up my sneakers. She probably don't even realize that's why I'm calling her during that time. But it's my reminder, like, yo, get outside. So I'm just trying to reiterate the importance of our relationships, guys, because it really does change the external world around us and our internal conversation that we are having with ourselves as well. So I do want us to be able to talk about our non-negotiables. Did anybody have that they wanted to add to that before we move into the non-negotiables here this morning? Press star 6 if you're on the line, or press 1 if you're on Blog Talk Radio. All right, all right. So as we're talking about these different things, like she said, we can definitely be flexible in our relationships, but the reality is we must be firm and explicit about our non-negotiables. And my God, Judy, can I just keep it real with y'all? Like, I promise this is something that it took me a grip to really get a hold of, right? But I don't blame nobody else for it no more. I thank God that I ain't in that place no more where I blame other people for me not setting boundaries in my life. Because if you don't set boundaries and you don't set those non-negotiables, oh, my God, people will come run ramshot all over your life. So you must have those non-negotiables in your life and have those boundaries. And so I love this and the importance of it. I love how she used the word for herself. One of her first non-negotiable is she only talked to people with high integrity. High integrity. You can't play in Shadyville, right? I love that. I just really wanted to say Shadyville this morning. So she said you can't play in Shadyville, which means where you jump in and out of good character or integrity when it's convenient for you, right? So, like, if you see an iPhone laying on the street, it shouldn't be an option of whether you pick up the iPhone and put it in your pocket. Like, the only thing that makes sense is to look around and see who dropped their iPhone or figure out how do we get this phone back to its owner, right? It shouldn't even be, like, a part of your mind whether other people are around or not around. Like, you shouldn't even consider unlocking a phone because, like, that's just not what we do, not – you know, it's just a part of integrity. And so I love how she brought that up. And she even used it down to people who don't spend time with their children. And I love this because it's something that means a lot to me. And as much as I love to say I'm not a kid person or whatever the case may be, the more I look at it, I really am committed to my purpose and leaving a path for those who come behind me. So I am very intentional about my leadership and my love towards younger folk, my children, my daughter, her friends, because it's very important to me. So in that it's very important to me, how I show up as a parent to my daughter and to her friends, it's equally important that I share the same thing that Lisa says as well, that I don't tend to hang out with people who don't spend time with their children, who allow their children to be gone consistently all night long, who's not spending time with creating that space to eat dinner with them, and you're allowing them constantly to go to the room and eat. I'm not knocking you if that's what you do. It's just a little bit different in how I operate because I'm highly engaged. I'm highly engaged in the relationships that I have in my life. So you just have to understand what your non-negotiables are. And just creating that space and creating those boundaries in your own life. Because if we don't create them, family will look up and we have different people in our lives. And you're like, how in the world did you even get here? How in the world did you even get here? So I think that that's really important for us to have those non-negotiables in your life. What do you need to become non-negotiable about in your community? Looking at those different things on what you need to become non-negotiable about, because the reality is eventually over time it's going to lead to your tank being empty and dry. You're going to be resentful and disenchanted with the relationships that you have. So you have to set those up. You really do. That hit a trigger for you, Janine? Like, oh, that's the truth? Yeah, it's the truth, right? Because if we don't set up those different type of boundaries, whether it's how loud we're speaking to one another or how we're showing up in different spaces, we really must have a high sense of self-awareness. And that's for ourselves. And that's the only other way that we're able to invest in other people as well. So really just maintaining those things and taking care of ourselves. I love how she even brought up just the same thing that I was just talking about as well, and it's probably because I read this chapter. But just even maintaining the relationships of people who are healthy, right, people who take care of themselves, self-care, right? And I learned that from my friend Janine. You know, always telling me, oh, go get a massage, go get a foot massage, go do this. I was like, girl, I ain't got time for that. I ain't got time for that. But once I realized the importance of loving on me and taking care of me, then it was like, oh, my God. And what did I do, Janine? I called you right after. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then it became on my radar of something to do. Just like I get my hair done, my nails done, and everything else, I have to take care of internally me as well. And that's just on one aspect, guys. So we do have to become very clear about our non-negotiables and having people in our lives who support the next phase of our lives. Do we have anything else that anybody else wanted to share as we talked about creating those boundaries and non-negotiables in our lives? It's at the top of the hour now.
Well, I know I just want to really reiterate the non-negotiables. I'm so clear that if we don't have non-negotiables, like you said, it just runs amok in your life. You've got to have your boundaries. You've got to set spaces in your life where people cannot step over those boundaries. It is so important. So you really got to think about that. I think that is so key. You really did a good job on that. Thank you so much, Miss Chastity A. Wells. That was really good.
Yes, yes. And to me, you know, just even with, and you know, I talk to you openly and frankly from my heart, and just, and not that I don't talk to you guys from my heart as well, but sometimes just cultivating just certain relationships, you may catch me in that moment of, oh, my God, I'm standing in some manure, right? And I'm like, what in the world? And it's just clear, okay, Chastity, you didn't set this boundary. You didn't set this. This is a non-negotiable for you. That's why it feels so stinky and so wrong, because this is truly against everything of who you are. And it's either you set, I had to learn to set those and love myself enough to say, you know what, it's all good. It's either you stay and you play in this space or you don't. Because either way, I love me too much. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to end up standing in no manure and I'm mad at me and I'm resentful and I'm ticked off at you, at myself, for allowing this to happen. So I think that's really important and just a good reminder for all of us. And I thought it was a great place for us to be able to end. I thought we would possibly be able to get to one more, but it's all good. So
that's just a place where we all can just walk away this weekend, being really aware in our space, in our environment, of our non-negotiables, making sure that we are really setting those boundaries in our lives and creating the new relationships that we really want to create. So whether it's one of the girls that you see at your job and you're like, oh, man, she's sharp or whatever, and you see her working out at lunchtime or whatever the case may be, you may can't keep up or whatever, but, you know, see if you can maybe go walking with her or something like that for lunchtime. It's only a couple minutes. Maybe it'll spark up a new relationship for you, inspire you in another way. That business friend, and you see that they're hitting goal after goal, or that friend who started a new business, reach out to those people. Just listen to them. Have lunch with them. Have conversation. Have tea. I think coffee is always the best thing to have because you don't get too caught up sitting up there eating a whole bunch of heavy food. But stay energetic and listen to the conversation and really staying highly engaged. But remembering family, to set your non-negotiables early and maintain your boundaries, because we love ourselves, and the only other way to create healthy relationships is to show other people how we love ourselves, because that in turn shows them how to love us. So I am Chastity A. Wells, your licensed insurance broker here on the line. Thank you so much for allowing me to share this morning as I go through this process. Thank you, Mom, always for just being my rock, my everything, Mom. And yes, my best friend, my everything. God knows that I learned the absolute most from you, and it's in your life that I really have given me the courage just to stand in my own little shoes over here and just be strong enough to just enjoy the process of life. So just thank you so much for that. And if you have any insurance needs or concerns, family, I am here to assist you with your life insurance needs. You definitely must have a life insurance policy outside of your job. Most of us are only staying at our jobs 3 to 5 years, and we're shifting from job to job. And that's not a bad thing. It's actually a very good thing that these things are happening. However, in the meantime, you don't want to look up and you're in between jobs and something happens and your family is not covered. And most importantly, those policies do not go with you through retirement. Companies are changing every single day, family. Let's talk about your policy. Let's talk about what you currently do have, and let's make sure you are hedged up against inflation, and you are prepared for next phase of your life and what that looks like. You're able to call or text me at 614-230-6600. Again, my direct contact number is 614-230-6600. My name is Chastity A. Wells. I'm on every social media platform, Chastity. Thank you, Janine. Thank you, Love Journey. Thank you to my beautiful mother. I love you. Thank you for this opportunity to grow and share.
All right. Thank you, Chastity. It's been a really great morning to really think about how to shift our money story, how to change. And, you know, it's so important that if we want our everything to change in our life, we got to start hanging around people doing what we want to do. And I'm so super excited, family, because I see what happens when you shift. And that doesn't mean, like Chastity says, that you have to get rid of people, but it does mean that you want to get around the people that you are willing to do what they do to get what you want. And it's, Albert Einstein said this: you cannot solve a problem with the same mindset that created the problem. So, family, with that being said, I want to remind you today, yay, that when you change your mind, you change your – let me just tell you, it works. Sitting down interviewing different millionaires, sitting down with people who doing what I want to do has really opened the path where you can really see that it's possible. You don't feel like, well, I'm confused, I don't know what I should be doing next. You get more clarity, you get more confident, you get more doors open up, more opportunities. Family, this book is really powerful. If you don't have this book, you really, this not should not be a book that you don't have in your library, because it is so powerful to really getting together your thought processes, really putting together, if you're a life coach, to put together your programs and get it out there. If you are a trainer or you sit, whatever you do in life, it's really to give you clarity. So today I really want you to think about picking this book up and really having it to be a part of your library. I promise you, it won't. You won't. I'm also reading another book that I think is so powerful. It's called The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. I tell you, whew. People say, well, how do you have much time to read all these books? I don't know, but I tell you, I don't know how you don't have time to read books, because I tell you, it's changing my life. The Compound Effect is really, really powerful. It's about the habits. What are your habits? Which is the same thing that Lisa Nichols is telling us. What? It's not about what we're not doing. It's about what we should be doing. What is it that we do before we go to bed at night? What is it when we first get? It's creating systems in our lives so that these systems can work the process for us. I tell you, it only works if you work a family. I want to remind you today that your life is a gift from God. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And I also want to remind you, don't just dream, but live your God-sized dream. Don't forget, family, we're coming up on 2018. You don't want to forget to check in with Chassie A. Wells so that you will know, guess what, your insurance needs. Chastity, I don't know if I told you, but I'm having a grandbaby. My first daughter's having her first baby, so we'll be calling you soon. Ah! She's doing much. I say, she is having, oh. I'm saying she's having a girl. She's having a gender reveal on Monday, so I don't know if it's a girl or boy, but I feel like it's a girl. So I call her Hot Pepper because that's all Diamond wants. So I'll be calling you for our little baby's policy.
Yay, praise God. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that just blessed me. Oh, my, that just made me so happy. Oh, my gosh. Congratulations.
She is having her first child. Yes.
So you get to be a part of the cool. You get to be a part of the cool mom crew. They say, I read I was in the bank with my banker. Her sign said, only the really good moms get upgraded to be called grandma. So you're about to be upgraded, Janine. That is so awesome.
Yes,
oh, that's so
I'm
awesome.
Going to be upgraded. Yes. And I'm so excited. Oh, my God. I had to get my mind right because I had to get the idea that I'm going to have to share this baby with so many other people who have not had babies in their lives because Tim's mom hadn't had a baby. I'm like, woo, this is her first grandbaby. This is my first grandbaby.
Oh, God.
So I'm like, I don't know if I want to share my grandma's status with somebody else. She said, you just got to stop being silly, girl.
No, you
but
telling
I'm
me
excited.
You telling me get sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just laughing. I'm like, no, you telling me get it honestly. You're Aries. You can't help it. Ain't you excited about it? It's going to be a minute. It's going to take a minute. You know, I had to tease you about
I'm
that.
Good, good. You know, I'm getting my man right. I got to share her, him. I'm super excited. I'm like, wow. I told Brittany the only reason, one of the reasons I wasn't letting us break up because I didn't want nobody else to share my children. And he's like, girl, you is the craziest I ever met. I know.
Listen,
yeah,
that's
it. Excited.
You got to have a non-negotiable.
That was my non-negotiable. I don't want nobody else over my children.
That's it. But then 30 years later, y'all still here. So, hey, it worked.
Yeah, it did work. Mm-hmm. Oh, now we're about to have our grandbaby. I'm so excited. But I said, I got to tell Chastity. So we'll be calling you.
Awesome. That's so awesome.
Yes.
So awesome.
Chastity, you did a really, really good job. I just want to say thank you so much.
Thank you.
Did a really, really good job. All right. Well, we're going to get ready to get out of here. And I want you to go get your exercise on. I know you're working that beautiful body, girl. Work it, work it.
No, just trying to, you know,
but I always see Chessie working out. That girl be working out. I'm trying to even just get upgraded to her level. I be seeing her run. I be seeing her on the treadmill. She even got the baby on the treadmill with her. I said, go, go, go. So that's my next goal. And, you know, Diamond is swimming and working out and running, still pregnant. I said, go, girl.
I did, too. I ran the entire time with Kimora. My mom was fussing at me, and she got all the funny stories. Now, I forgot about how crazy I was during that pregnancy. But I ran the entire time. But the funny thing is that people kept telling me, like, because I was working at AT&T at the time, and, you know, I never was a person who ate at my lunch break. I always worked out at my lunch break. It's not even really as much about vanity as it is about health for me, because I lost both of my grandparents due to cancer, and I just firmly believe that it is a byproduct of how you take care of yourself. In honor of them, I always, always am mindful of how I show up on the planet and take care of my body. I think about my grandfather. So, I was running the entire time. But people would say to me, Janine, oh, girl, ain't you pregnant? You can't do that to that baby. You're going to lose that baby and blah, 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 blah. You need to just chill and just be a mama. And, Janine, I would have all this food I would come to work with. I ate all the time. I did all those different things, and I prepared my food. But as soon as somebody would see me running, it was a problem. And I was starting to believe this craziness. So I went to my doctor, and I was talking to my doctor about it. And my doctor was very clear. She told me. She was like, listen, your baby will tell you when to stop running. I will never tell you when that day is. Your body will tell you. And I'm like, what? I'm like, so I'm going to just know. She was like, oh, trust me, you will know. And I remember the one day, I remember it clear, Janine. I went in the little treadmill room because it was getting cold outside, so I couldn't go outside no more and run. So I was using the treadmill inside the building that we had. And so I was picking up speed, girl. So I started off with my walk, then I'm picking up speed. I got to running. My hips started shifting. I said, woo-hoo, what was that? So I slowed down. I said, oh, 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 what was that? So I tried to pick back up. I said, oh. And that's when it was like I heard her voice in my head, like, your body will tell you when it's time to stop. And surely it was time to stop. And I think I was about 6 months at that time, and I no longer could run at that hard pace with her any longer. I still walked. I still did all the other things. I still swam. I still did those other things. But that really hard, jarring running, oh, Kimora was like, yeah, you're done with that. But it was up until delivery. I mean, my mom would say I was dragging her outside. I'd go by her house. I don't know why I was doing that to my poor mama. I'm like, you got to come outside with me. I need support. Go walking. Because ain't no man going to go walking with you, so you make your mama go, come on, mommy, please. But anyway,
aww.
Yeah. It was good stuff, so it's definitely good. I'm proud of her for continuing to do that, and she will have the strength to deliver her baby. And then even afterwards, she'll have that energy after she gives birth to that baby. To your grandbaby, and she'd be ready to keep it moving. The doctors had to, like, literally beg me to get back in the bed because you condition your body, and you, like, ready. Let's go. Let's go. So, and, you know, look at my baby now. She's the same way. So it's all good. I'm so excited for you, Janine.
Wow. So do you think that the exercise made your delivery easier, or you don't know one way or the other?
No, it absolutely made it easier. Delivery kicked my butt. I should have asked for more epidural. But, you know, it's all good, though. I didn't know that you were supposed to ask for more before the baby came. I messed myself up, but it's all good. It definitely made it a lot easier. But who really knows what that means for me? I know that after I had her, the energy and everything,
I didn't want to sleep. Like, I just wanted to go take a shower. I was trying to get out that bed immediately because of my endurance level. I wasn't used to being confined to a bed, and I'm not a lazy, you know, I just have a lot of energy. My blood isn't sluggish like that. So I just remember that being an issue in the hospital, and they were just kept looking at me like, you're supposed to give your body time to rest. And I'm like, my body feels fine. And so it was just easier for me, and I just didn't require a lot. So I think it really did help with the recovery of it all, Janine, especially when I look at my other friends who are even or younger women who have kids. But I didn't have any of those gestational issues, and I was almost 30 when I had her. Not that 30 is old, but, you know, again, coming against the things that run in my family, allegedly, I think it all played out the way it was supposed to.
Okay. Wow.
And my baby wasn't underweight. My baby was still 90% heavier and taller than every other baby. So I didn't have no skinny baby either, y'all. She was a little chunky butt. So she still came full term, and her mama worked out the entire time with her. So.
But, yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah, I see
exciting,
her
exciting.
On that treadmill. So you condition her to take care of her body, too, which is really powerful.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing too is just our children. They do what they see us do, and even like what my mom testified to this morning, it's not so much of what we say, it's what we're doing, right? And even though it made it uncomfortable, and as it's clear, I am very close to my mom. I'm very close to my siblings. But as I really wanted to grow in certain areas of my life, it does make it uncomfortable during those times because I'm choosing to work out more. I'm choosing to do different things, and the conversation has to be different. And I don't want us sitting around doing certain things any longer. But it's really moving into that, and it's the same thing that Kimora was able to see, and she does see. So when I ask her when we go to Dick's, and I'm like, hey, you want a pair of boxing gloves? She's like, yeah, get them. I'm like, which ones you want? And it's not an awkward conversation. It's just, let's do it, you know? And then we get to the gym and we start working out and we try some stuff. And it's nothing like super crazy. It's just fun. And it's just a way for us to bond, and we talk and, you know, we laughing at each other through us not being able to breathe. But it's just another way for us to bond instead of us bonding over some good old soul food. So.
Well, all right. Well, it's interesting because Diamond and I were talking, and she was like, well, me and my daughter, and she said baby, she didn't say daughter. When it's anything with a gender, it's me saying it.
Listen to your internal dialogue. You making up the story, aren't you? You're like, me and my daughter, I mean, he said baby, but.
I just feel like it's a girl, I do. And she was saying, well, me and my babe, we're going to be meditating and working out together and doing yoga together. I said, I can see all of that, too, you know. So I could see her doing, you just like you and Kimora, her and her babe, doing all that wonderful stuff. She already ready to teach the baby how to meditate.
But, you know, the cool thing is, Janine, I'm going to tell you, I learned meditation from Kimora. Though we practiced it here on the line, Kimora, it was easier for her to be quiet and to still her mind because she's younger. It was easier for her to practice it. It was easier. And, like, for me, like, just to sit still for 10 minutes, I'm like, I'm ready to get back up and go. But for her, like, she really embodied the breathing and sat there and really did it. And really did it. And so I'm like, man, if she can discipline her little self,
how much more can I, you know? So she was really my external marker. So I think that's powerful, Janine. You didn't drop some nuggets for your kids and your grandkids to be able to share in. So this is going to be a pretty cool journey.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. I think this baby has come into the world with two amazing parents, both are readers, both exercise, both, you know, very about elevating their spiritual growth. And so I can't, and they're both very patient, you know, like really patient with the idea of how they want to do things. They're very calculating on how they want to, you know, be with the baby. They even have us thinking about how they want us to operate with their children. And I think that's great because they have already set non-negotiables with the grandparents. Like, you know, we don't want this kind of discipline, this the kind of discipline we want, you know, if, you know, and they want us all to buy into it. And so I'm like, hey, I'm whatever you want to do. But I'm not going to have no grandkids standing on top of these tables now.
Okay. That's a non-negotiable.
Yes, but it's interesting because, you know, when everybody had their first kid, they have all these ideas. I remember thinking the same thing.
Oh, my God.
But by the time you get to the second and third, you'll be like, look, man.
That's it. And that's the funny part. Who has that commercial? Love has that commercial. And I said, man, I could really see that because I drove myself crazy being Kimora's mama. Like, just everything got to be this and that. And I'm like, life is just not that deep. Me have a second kid, man. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Not that I wouldn't pour the same amount of love, but I wouldn't have held myself to such a tight constraint about everything and being so overly meticulous and anal about everything. I would have really mm-hmm. just enjoyed the process mm-hmm. a little bit more.
That's interesting you said that. I don't know why this story comes up a lot in my mind. It was this lady was on Oprah show, and she it was around Christmas time, and she had just lost her whole entire family, her husband and all of her children, and mm-hmm. due to a fire or a car accident. I can't remember which one it was. But the one thing she told Oprah in her healing process, now that she didn't have her children any longer, and her husband, she said she would have been present more and she wouldn't took life so serious about, they have to do this perfect and they have to do this and eat this and be this. She said she would have been more present with love and just stirring it up with love and just allowed the process. And I was like, wow, I wonder why we get so caught up. I was the same way, though, so I'm not, you know, I was the same way, like, okay, Diamond got to read by the time she was three, and
mm-hmm.
she was doing
mm-hmm.
all this stuff, and I definitely understand. But I'm super excited. Thank you, Chelsea, for, you know, making me laugh this morning, talking about me.
Well, you know, we got to have fun and laugh. That's what I love to do is laugh. So, and share my laughter and other people. Talking about, oh, I'm going to have to learn to share. I said, oh, please, you're Aries. It's okay. You get a pass for that. So you got a pass, girl. You get a pass. So, but it definitely was fun this morning and conversing in regards to all of that. And thank you so much for sharing. So, it's 8:30, y'all. I love y'all. I gotta go. I gotta protect a couple families here today because that's what we got to do, and time be ticking so fast. So I love y'all, and Janine, love you, and thank you for
love
everything.
Love you too,
babe. Enjoy your day.
All right. You do the same. Protect a lot of families out there. All right, family. This is the Brand New Heavies. Never give up. See you on Monday on Millionaire Mind. I'm about to call it Millionaire Mind. On Cash Flow Monday. You have a great, phenomenal, amazing weekend. I'll be back from LA today, family. I'm back. I'll be back.